This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. David Cone joining us here in just about 10 minutes. Go around baseball. We all know the game isn't over till it's over, Bart Scott. The next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts to take your car into overtime. Get the right parts at the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Stop it, man. Stop it. Stop it, man. It's like saying, whoop, there it is, man. It's corny, man. Stop it.
I was almost thinking we should add to our show intro Russell Wilson saying, let's ride. Like right on, after man. You say, can't wait.
No,
we
man.
Just add the let's ride.
That's so corny, man. It's so corny.
Why is it that, why is it that it's mostly defensive players who think that Russ is, like, who call him out and say he's corny and all that stuff? Why is it always, like, NFL defenders? Is it because you guys can't catch him?
No, man. Come on, man. You see, like, come on. We already know. Remember what he did with Sierra, man, in the bed?
Hey, hello. Seattle.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, nobody sleeps with a black woman with a chain on. Because they weave will get stuck in there and they get pissed because now you're pulling their hair out. Stop it, man. She wouldn't even lay with you like that. We all know we all know that.
It's too funny.
Hello, Seattle. Man, come on, man. It's 7 o'clock. I can see the sun out behind the shade, man.
Hey, Seattle. It's one of the best. I got a really interesting call here from Mel in Queens about Kevin Durant's situation. I got to hear this. Go ahead, Mel.
What's going on, guys? I know you love the show, man. Boy, supporting and stuff. But I believe that Kevin Durant is out of here. I don't believe he's going to retire. I believe before the season starts, or at least before Christmas, he's going to be out of there. I think that's one of the reasons why the Nets wasn't on the Christmas schedule. And I'm not really mad at Kevin Durant. I know a lot of people have been kind of in the media, been kind of killing Kevin Durant, but it's unfair to him, you know, for as far as everything that took place. He's going to get all the blame just because of narrative. So,
you know, that's the part that bothers me the most. You think he's as good as gone?
Yeah, I really do. I don't believe he plays another game with the Nets. I believe he's out of here. I believe he's out of here. I believe if he really was going to be with the Nets, if they really would have had the power and they expect him to beat, I believe they would have been on the Christmas schedule. I believe the Christmas schedule tells a lot. Vegas knows something we don't know.
Listen, I can't deny that. I honestly can't deny that. If the Nets were on the Christmas schedule, which with Kyrie and KD, you kind of would think, and Ben Simmons, like, wouldn't you think if you're the NBA, those are three all-stars. Like, I would imagine you would want an all-star team on your Christmas Day schedule. But the schedule that has been leaked so far is there is no Nets. It's Bucks, Celtics, it's Sixers, Knicks. This is all reportedly. Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Warriors. So there's no Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So does
That's
that kind of
Brooklyn,
hint?
Brooklyn versus Philly would have been crazy because of all of what Ben Simmons and stuff coming back. So if they don't want that, would that mean they're not sure that any of those guys are going to be on the team?
That is an interesting thing. I mean, look, the league does sort of like hint to things at times. But I just don't know why Brooklyn isn't they're under any pressure to trade Kevin Durant. Like, what is the pressure to trade him? And if you're going to trade him, you sure as hell want to trade Kyrie. Because you don't want to live in a world where you have Kyrie but don't have Kevin Durant. Right? You don't want to live in that world, do you, Bart? I don't. If I was running that team, thank you.
Well, they had that before when Kevin was hurt when he first got there the first year.
You had that go. Yeah. Guy never played. Never wanted to play. You know, like, I can't understand this world that we live in now where this has just become acceptable. You know, just the idea. Like, did you see Brandon Jennings? I know I'm going a little off topic here, but I found this. Brandon Jennings, the former NBA player, had a real interesting thread of tweets. And it was about something that people accuse a lot of what the NBA is about these days. And, of course, because I really wasn't planning on talking about this, I can't – I'm not getting it on my screen fast enough to read exactly what he had to say, but I will get to it in a second. So I'm just going to stall here by just saying
just
a bunch of words.
Yeah,
Broncos country, let's ride.
Come on, stop, man. <That's> man, come on, you know that sounds so funny, man. All right,
I love it.
Oh,
I
man.
Love it.
Zippity-doo. Come on, man.
Zippity-doo-dah. I'm trying to – I know I retweeted because I asked the simple question, is he wrong?
And
the response is unbelievable. And then there's something else, too, that kind of is like a piece of this. But, damn it. He just essentially is saying that NBA players, a lot of NBA players who really, here it is, who don't love to play.
Oh, of course.
And would prefer not to play. So this is the thread here of tweets that he had. NBA on ESPN actually had this as well. He said, for whoever made this a player's league was the stupidest thing ever for the game of basketball. He said, I'm a fan of the game of basketball. Why would I go play? Why would I go pay to watch players that can decide whenever they want to play? And he said, it's only a couple of guys in the NBA that love the game. Outside of NBA, kids make so much money now, you think they care. I mean, it is a concerning place for the NBA to go. And he actually, fans were coming at Kevin Durant on Twitter about this as well, and KD was just saying the league's it's never been stronger. But there is something about this, right?
Yeah.
Where the argument of a player has to take care of his body and he wants to be available for the playoffs, so 82 games is too many games. It's like, all right,
short
the simple solution is that for the Players Association to tell the league, we got to play less than 82 games. And the owners would say, all right, well, we pay you then less. Because
yep.
I ain't paying you for an 82-game season.
Because I'm trying to get my revenue.
If you're giving me a 60-game season, right?
Exactly.
But the players would never agree to that. They would never agree to that. So in the end, it's fine. I'd rather get paid for 82 games, but I'll just not play 82 games.
Right.
I'm still
going to only give you 60 or 66. I'm
right.
taking 14 days off for load management.
So aren't we kind of stuck
like
there?
Like 21 years old. Like, bro, how do you need rest? 22 years old.
Aren't we kind of stuck there then?
Yeah.
Are we not just now stuck in that place where what Brandon Jennings is saying is actually true? Is that there are players who will just say, no, this is fine. Everything's fine. And then find reasons not to play. And Durant's response, Bart, was about how, well, there are teams that sit guys on purpose late in the season. They don't want them to get to certain like numbers, so they don't want to pay them, so they'll
That's
sit
true.
You. Or they want to lose, so they'll
That's
sit
true.
You. And how come nobody complains about that? And I say, on the contrary, people do. Fans are all about tanking. So it's like, yeah, why are we playing our main players? We don't want to win this game. We want a lottery pick. You're fine with then sitting a guy, right? You're fine with that. But when a player says, I don't want to play because I'm a little sore, and whatever reason it is, we get all over the player for not playing.
Yeah, it can't have it both ways.
No. Now, in the NFL, there's so few games that nobody wants to sit out. It's
right.
the one sport you're never going to see load management, right?
I mean, no, you see load management. You know, you see guys when it's an opponent, they sit down or they think, hey, you know, we're playing this team, so.
Didn't the Colts do that with you guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For the perfect season.
That's right.
Perfect season. Set it down, and we weren't going to beat them that game. As soon as they put, Painter in, it's barbecue chicken. Ooh, extra check for us. Almost came back and bit him in the butt because we ended up seeing him in the playoffs, and they got us in the playoffs with that. And we was up at halftime then, Peyton.
Peyton was just Peyton, and that's things that happened there. But still, like I said, this argument is going to never end. But there is an amazing trend, though, not just in sports, but it's actually starting to see it in the world of people like just – you know, just doing enough at where I this whole thing that happened on Twitter yesterday, I couldn't believe what I was seeing is this whole idea of, work doing just enough to not get fired. And I looked at that. I retweeted the story.
That's everywhere.
Yeah. But you were just talking about this, right? Were you not? You were just talking about this yesterday about, you're trying to find people that you could hire, that you feel like you can, that can work. And
labor.
They work for a day or two, and then suddenly it's like, I need a day off.
Yeah, the labor force, man. It's soft.
And it's something that is going on in the world. Like, so when we get on NBA players, baseball player, whatever it is about load management, you got to understand this goes beyond
society.
A sports story. Yeah, it's a mentality that is taking over a little bit that people are defending. Like I said, I retweeted a story where I essentially just said like ambition is for losers apparently, and I said it in jest because the story is about workers embrace the bare minimum in quiet quitting trend, doing just enough to avoid being sacked, being fired. And it's like people were defending it. Like, oh, yeah, why should you do more than what is expected at work? And I'm like, well,
yeah. That's where we are as a society, man.
It's an unbelievable thing. Yeah. Unbelievable place we are in sports. But, again, we want to celebrate the good, not the bad. We want to celebrate all the things that are happening. Though. Well, it's been, you know, rest is something that has come into a lot of things in sports. All right, to talk with that and more in just a couple of seconds, we'll talk with David Cohen. It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Your calls we will get to, but let's bring in David Cohen right now. You hear him on the YES Network, of course, Sunday Night Baseball as well. Love hearing him talk baseball. Love hearing him talk about pitching and everything else. But David, by the way, how you doing? Good to have you.
I'm doing good, guys. Good to be on with you as well again.
Bart, where do we begin? Because you and I, neither one of us want to talk about the New York teams right now, but I feel like the Yankee story is now starting to become the major concern story. And if put yourself on the mound, you're Gerrit Cole. You're an ace. You're a stopper. This is something where, okay, well, let's get a win here. We need a win. Let's get a win. You just lost a series to the Red Sox, kind of embarrassing, and you got to get a win. And you turn around and you see an Aaron Hicks get lost with the ball in the air and can't make a play on a ball that eventually that missed play leads to a run, which leads to a loss. What is happening in your mind if you're Gerrit Cole in that situation?
Well, yeah, you certainly are upset initially. Your initial reaction is like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, what's going on? And then secondly, there's nobody out. So now you got a man on third and nobody out, so there's no margin for error to strike out a guy or to try to pitch out of it. So, yeah, the degree of difficulty is extremely high because of the situation. But I think what you're seeing with Aaron Hicks is he's struggling so much offensively that now he's taking it out to the field. And you can see defenders in baseball, when they go out to play defense, they're thinking about their offense, and then they get distracted, and then a play like that happens. And, you know, I think the human element is getting Aaron Hicks right now. He got booed pretty loud last night. He's hearing it. Joey Gallo's gone. He's now the guy. So, yeah, he's got a bullseye on his back right now, and you can kind of see it getting to him a little bit.
David, is it as simple as just getting Giancarlo back to provide that protection to trying to get out of this slump and get some offense going?
I think that's a big part of it, yes. I think who knew that Matt Carpenter was going to be such a mainstay when you first signed him? He was kind of like off the scrap heap and, you know, maybe he'll be a pinch hitter up the bench. He became a big part of that lineup right in the middle as well because he can bat left-handed, and his swing is tailor-made for Yankee Stadium as well. He hits a lot of pulled fly balls. He really takes advantage of the porch at Yankee Stadium, so he is a huge loss as well. So, yeah, it's more than that. It's like one after the other. DJ LeMahieu's now got maybe a turf toe or sort of a problem with his foot and his toe. You know, and he struggled as of late. Gleyber Torres has kind of struggled, even though he got a couple of hits last night. It's just one after the other. It just leaves sort of Aaron Judge naked in the lineup. He needs some help. You know, you can't expect him to do it night in and night out and not have some you know, a little bit of a helping hand along the way. So there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Judge and a lot of injuries, too, that are mounting. And then the players that are there are kind of mired in a slump as well. You could put Josh Donaldson in that category at third base as well. And so you wonder at some point when you see these other teams like the Atlanta Braves call up young guys and get a lift from it, do the Yankees have somebody like that in the minor leagues? Mm-hmm. Or are they willing to make that call right now? Or is there a fit in their minor league system to call up and give them sort of a boost like the Braves have had with some of their young guys.
And you see the frustration, too, even in the dugout. I mean, Rizzo going like a full Paul O'Neill at one point after one at-bat. That's when you start to see it bubble over. You were there in 98. I mean, that team, you know, was just cruised through the whole season. But when September came, it went through a slump at the worst time that made you think, like, oh, my God, is this all going to fall apart at the very end? This is August, not September, but, I mean, is there any kind of similarities to it or not?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, I guess you could say in 98, it did happen later, or the division was already put away. We were trying to line up things for postseason. And actually, in 98, it was a young Shane Spencer that came up and gave us a lift from the yes. minor league. You know, some sort of boost, from somebody with some energy, some life. It's really hungry. So sometimes that helps. I think this situation, just a combination of injuries, of flat play, it seemed like over the last 2 or 3 weeks with the Yankees, their pitching went through a little bit of a slump. Their rotation kind of got knocked around, and the offense was still producing, and now it's just reversed. The last go-round through the rotation, the pitching's actually been pretty good, and now it's the offense that's kind of slumping, two straight shutouts. So it's kind of that perfect storm of, you know, the old cliche, when we hit, we don't pitch, and when we pitch, we don't hit. And that's kind of the story of the Yankees over the last 2 weeks or so.
We're talking with David Cohn. Again, you hear him on the YES Network on Yankees broadcast, also Sunday Night Baseball as well. The Dodgers have won 80 games, and they have become now that team. I mean, they just recently won 12 in a row, just a dominant team this season. And yet they lose Walker Buehler now for the rest of the season. Kershaw's had some issues, obviously, as well, but they've managed to get this far, and Buehler hasn't had a great season. But will this impact them come October?
It possibly could. You know, the Dodgers are probably the most athletic team in terms of speed and power and play the best defense all over the field. When you watch the Dodgers play, they have athletes, guys that can move all over the field, that make good defensive plays, that run the bases well. Mookie Betts at the top may be the best all-around athlete in the game. So certainly that's a big part of their game. But in postseason, that big shutdown starter is a big part of postseason in baseball. We've seen great baseball teams get knocked out of the box because somebody like a Max Scherzer can shut you down, or a Jacob deGrom. And you have to wonder about the Dodgers rotation with Buehler out, and will Kershaw be ready? And they've got good starters. They've had good years, but Tony Gonsolin is not a guy that overpowers players. Tyler Anderson, the lefty's had a great year, but he's a finesse pitcher. The one dominant starter they have is Julio Urias. Certainly a guy that you can throw up there and say he can shut you down. But the Dodgers' starting rotation is not something that you look at and you go, uh-oh, they're going to dominate. So that might be the one weakness they have now. And Walker Buehler was that shutdown guy, a guy who could throw 100 miles an hour. And Clayton Kershaw has that Cooperstown curveball. He can shut you down. So, you know, it does leave you wondering if the Dodgers have enough. It's certainly in the rotation.
And you look at, again, the National League contenders right now, right? You would say – I always say, like, if the Mets are going to get to the World Series this year, they've got to get through the Dodgers, who have been the best team in baseball, the highest run scored and the lowest ERA. But with this injury, with what you're talking about as well, is a little bit of unproven in the moment type starting pitching. Would you favor the Mets at least right now?
I don't think anybody wants to play the Mets. The way Jacob deGrom has looked coming back, I think he was obviously the big X factor. And he has not missed a beat. I mean, just remarkable the way he came back and is just right on tune and throwing 102 miles an hour with 95-mile-an-hour sliders. There's just nobody in the game that has that kind of stuff, just pure stuff and control, maybe one of the best of all time. We've seen guys that throw hard, power pitchers, and we've seen guys with good control. I don't know if we've seen anybody that has that combination of power and control like Jacob deGrom has, so... and then Max Scherzer, so battle ready, battle tested. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mets are a nightmare. Nobody wants to face the Mets because of those two starters, and also because of Edwin Diaz at the end of the game.
Yeah,
you know, he's having a historic season in terms of strikeouts. You know, at or near the top historically all time in terms of strikeout rate. He comes in, and if he doesn't strike out two or three guys, it's an off night for him. You know, he'll come in and strike out the side and keep the ball out of play. Your defense, you know, you don't have to worry about any plays, misplays behind you when he's in the game with a lead. And I imagine Buck Showalter in a big game would use him for two innings, too, if he needs to, or get him in the eighth inning if he had to. So, yeah, with DeGrom, Scherzer, and Edwin Diaz at the end of the game, the Mets are a nightmare in a short series for anybody.
Now, you were, David Cohn, we're talking with right now, you were one of, what is it, 23 perfect games in the history of the sport, right? Is that correct, that number?
Is it, yeah, 23, yeah, I think it sounds right. 23, 24, yeah, you're close. We're in the ballpark.
Okay. But we haven't had one in a decade. Does that surprise you, or is it how we're using pitchers and how we do things now that We just have not seen it. We came very close, right? What did we get? Eight and a third? But we didn't get one. I mean, is it surprising to you that it has been that long since the last perfect game?
It's not that surprising to me just because of the pitch counts being looked upon as a big deal for pitchers. It's almost like managers are worried about pitchers getting deep into a game with a no-hitter or a perfect game and their pitch count elevates. It puts the manager in a tough spot. Do I let him go? Do I push him to 130 pitches? Is the front office going to be mad at me for that? Am I compromising the kid's health on the mound? So, you know, Drew Rasmussen had 79 pitches going into the ninth inning the other day, so he probably had as good a chance as anybody, and then he gave up a hit on the first pitch of the ninth inning. So that's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody who really is down in their pitch count in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, because if you've got to go to 130 or 140 pitches to get something done, then that's going to be a problem, and that's going to be decision-making time for managers. So I'm not as surprised, because managers are so worried about those things nowadays, unless it's a veteran guy, you know, that you're not worried about pushing that far. It's not a young guy that you're going to compromise his future. So there's a lot of elements that make me not surprised that we're not seeing it as much. But there's also that random variance, that luck factor,
yep,
that comes into play that it's just so hard to read. I think anybody who's been in that game, I certainly know I feel lucky. I feel like the stars were aligned that day, that I got the breaks that just happened to go my way. And the further removed I get from that game, the more I appreciate that particular element in a perfect game.
Yeah, I bet. Again, it's like just that one ball that just goes right to someone, that if it's 5 inches to the left or right, that's the hit and that's the thing that breaks it up. So some of it is that luck factor, but you got to be a little talented as well. Dave, we got to leave it right there. Yeah. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Good to be on.
All right, David Cone again, Sunday Night Baseball, Yes Network. And Bart, I found it interesting how he kind of hinted a couple of times about maybe something to spark the Yankees is call up somebody, get some fresh blood up here, get some enthusiasm,
yeah,
and spark this team. It is something he saw happen in 98 when he mentioned Shane Spencer, and maybe it is something that the Yankees need to consider.
Yeah, you know, always when you think about that, sometimes you need some energy. You know, veterans that get very stagnant, you go through that lull. You know, the season is starting to get long. Sometimes you just need some fresh energy. It kind of reminds you of why you play the game. You know, you play with that kid spirit,
mm-hmm,
and the jubilation of somebody coming up, getting an opportunity to play in the majors.
And late in the year.
Yeah,
late in the year kind of gets you out of the doldrums a little bit. I know you loved what he said, too. I don't think anybody wants to play the Mets come October with especially that 1-2 in the rotation. So, yeah, we'll get more into this, of course, later in the show. It is Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. Coming up, we got audio files. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN
app. Let's
rock. The best of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Tuesday.
As Michael Irvin said,
you don't know anything about the Dallas Cowboys. They going to go undefeated like the Miami Dolphins if they cut back the penalties. Now look, we got a team in Jerry's World.
More KJM weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. Bart and Hahn. Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Doug's in Dayton. What's up, Doug? Dougie, we got like 40 seconds. What do we got?
Hello. Doug's in Dayton. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how y'all doing?
It's kind of interesting to listen.
What? I think KB, he's getting everybody's kind of coming down on him.
Here's what I wish, though. I wish Doug just kept singing.
Bart and Hahn.
Well done, Cam.
That's my DJ.
Well done, Cam. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Look, we love to take calls. We just don't know what's ever going to happen sometimes. And we've had those moments. You know, one time at night, I was doing my show in New York. that I took a call, and the guy was on hold for a while. So to be fair, he was on hold for a while. But when I picked him up, we heard snoring. And so I just let it go. Like, I let it, like, the snoring go for about 15, 30 seconds. And all you heard was this guy snoring peacefully. He sounded very comfortable, very relaxed. And I don't know how to feel listening to my show that you fell asleep.
But keep him engaged.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Man, get a CPAP.
Yeah, he must have had a yogurt or something.
So we have your calls. We certainly will get back to the conversation with you. But, Bart, right now it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in this segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File. The Audio File.
As we've mentioned, the NBA schedule will be released officially tomorrow. But we do have a lot of reports about the Christmas Day slate. And among the five games on the schedule include the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, who you could argue could be the two best teams in the East. Yeah. Obviously, the Sixers have something to say about it. They're playing Christmas Day against the Knicks, according to the schedule. So those are the four teams from the East, by the way, playing on Christmas Day. Giannis Antetokounmpo has become a megastar. He's been a two-time MVP. He's won a championship in Milwaukee, which is obviously a big deal. $230 million contract that he signed to stay in Milwaukee. But with Giannis, it's always, how long do you plan to stay in Milwaukee? The big rival of the Bucks, at least regionally, is the Chicago Bulls. So listen to what Giannis said to a Chicago TV station, Fox 32, about whether he'd ever consider playing for the Bulls.
I think anybody who asks that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. You know, it's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to ever play this game played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Down the line, you never know. You know, you never know how life brings it. Maybe I'll play for Chicago. But right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee.
Right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee. But, boy, yeah, he right seems now. To do this a lot.
Yep. You talk about, I mean, you look at him and, like, want to go play for Chicago. Listen, he's keeping him on notice. Like, listen, if y'all don't keep stuff, you know, because remember before he signed that extension, they had to bring in Jrue Holiday. They had to go get him some stars. He's like, I don't know about this. You know, so this is keeping him on his toes. I mean, going to play for Chicago, I understand what he means about, you know, but until he realizes how damn cheap they are, just ask Scottie Pippen. Ask anybody to ever, you know, try to play there. It's going to be a cheap organization. Mm-hmm. So they might pay you, but they ain't going to pay everybody else.
Mm. But still, the fact that he does it, I think you're right. It's like keeping the Bucks in check, just letting them know that make sure you keep building a championship team around me, because if there ever comes a time where I need to go,
I don't care how many deluxe I'm tax open to up, places. You better pay it.
Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, we have been all over this team after injury. Penalty-riddled playoff game, loss. Mike McCarthy under a lot of heat because of mismanaging the clock. Terrible way that game ends, of course. Then they start the preseason and all the same. Penalties, major issue, major story. But is there still optimism in Dallas? Michael Irvin found reason to have optimism. This is from First Take on Monday.
This is not like turnovers. Turnovers declare wins and losses. You can still win. With all of these penalties, the Dallas Cowboys still had the number one offense in the National Football League, the number one scoring offense in the National Football League. What you should be saying, if the Dallas Cowboys clean up these penalties, they may be chasing the Miami Dolphins. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now.
Chasing the Dolphins? Is he talking about undefeated perfect season?
Stop it, man. I think that's what he's alluding to. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. Mike, sometimes Irv, you know, listen, bless his heart. You know, he can take a little bit too far. He get a little too bit too emotional. He emotionally attached to the Cowboys.
Very.
But I mean, you talk about looking at division. Bless you. Philadelphia's gotten better. They've, at best, stayed the same or got worse. Think about Michael Gallup. And listen, everybody mm-hmm. loves the third receiver or the third guy, right? Because they always feel like, oh, if the third guy was the second guy, he'll be even better. Until they have to be the second guy. So then the second guy replacing the second guy because the first the second guy went to the first guy.
I'm confused. You lost me. somewhere between the second guy and the first guy. I'm lost now.
It's about being the dilution, right? Because now your number two has become your number three becomes your number two. Now your number three is weaker, right? And your number two could potentially be weaker. So now, you know, you don't have the same, you know, you don't get the same performance from that guy who was just like an add-on piece. Kind of like how James Harden was the add-on piece with OKC. He had to go somewhere else to get eaten.
All right, I don't know. You just went shell game on me there, so I'm gonna sit back for a second. Coming up next now on Audio Files, let's get to this. Rich Cimini, who we talked to yesterday, covers the Jets for ESPN. There'll be an update eventually on Zach Wilson, who is in L.A. To get that scope on his knee, and then we'll know after the results of the scope how much time they expect him to miss. But in the meantime, his replacement, Joe Flacco, the veteran, is now QB1. And Cimini saying that Joe Flacco had a Joe Cool kind of practice. 14 of 17, 3 touchdowns, plus a 2-point pass, sacked twice, made some exceptional throws, still slinging it at 37. If you don't believe Rich Cimini, listen to Jets rookie quarterback Garrett Wilson.
There's definitely a difference, you know. It's a lot of experience right there with Flacco, and you know, I feel like everything with him is he takes some pace off, can put pace on the balls. You know, he kind of does a good job of making the passes, you know, receiver friendly. That's the best way I can put it into words. You know, it's they're pretty easy to catch. He takes them off the ball when you're running the slant route versus, you know, out route, or put some zip on it because it got to be, you know, things like that. So I'll say that.
I meant, of course, meant wide receiver Garrett Wilson. I just meant that, not quarterback. But Garrett Wilson making these observations about the quarterback, it makes it sound like he's going, oh, that's what a pro quarterback looks like.
You know, that's how the ball's supposed to come out, right?
Because you concerned about this?
No, because, listen, at this point, I expect Joe Flacco to be a better quarterback than Zach Wilson, right? He's a former Super Bowl MVP. And it's funny, like, oh, at 37 years old. Half the damn quarterbacks in the league, damn it, 37 years old.
Right, so Matt Ryan's like, what is 37? Right, like,
hold my beer, right? Yeah. Aaron, you know what I mean?
Right.
You talk about guys out there
Tom Brady.
Like, come on, man, stop it. You know, so 37 by no means is an old quarterback, right? We remember, you know, so like Joe Flacco still is a capable quarterback. Now, what happened is the game is evolving and changing. You can't just be a traditional pocket quarterback just like Matt Ryan unless you have one of the best offensive lines, and that remains to be seen with the Jets. But if they can give him a solid run game, guys are going to get the ball where they want him. Much like when we saw them, you know, take over last year for him, of course he should be better than him.
Question, though, for you, Bart. We'll answer on the other side. If Joe Flacco, like maybe he starts the first two games of the season before Zach Wilson is officially ready to go. If they win the first two games and his arm, like he's throwing for 300 yards, do you just ride with him?
Well,
Don't answer. Bart's answer and your calls coming up next. Bart Knott, ESPN
this.
Radio and the ESPN app.
We talking about practice, man.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
As Michael Irvin said,
you don't know anything about the Dallas Cowboys. They going to go undefeated like the Miami Dolphins.
This and more Wednesday morning at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. Bart and Han. Bart and Han.
Hell yeah. Public Enemy, don't you know? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. Let's grab some calls here. So Matt's in New Jersey, Bart. He's got a question. What question do you have, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. So I have a few comments on the kind of mic'd up aspects that going on with baseball lately.
Yep.
Watch the Sunday night game with Gleyber Torres, and he was mic'd up in the third inning.
Yes.
And there was a rocket shot hit, I think it was 104 miles per hour exit velocity, and it went right by him. And during the broadcast, he seemed to be, you know, they were asking him questions about Judge, and he seemed a little bit preoccupied, you know. And I was thinking to myself, you know, could he have, you know, made this play? He was very close to getting it. And just to kind of parlay that on top of another example earlier in the season, the All-Star game, there was the Blue Jays pitcher, I think Manoah, he was dealing, and they mic'd him up. and McNeil was at the plate, and the commentators were almost kind of amping him up. You know, you're look at you throwing 98, 97.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And he skipped it, and it hit McNeil in the shin. And I'm a Yankees fan, and I was upset. I would be livid that, you know, it's affecting the outcomes of these games in an aspect. And people pay a lot of money; they're betting on it now. I just wanted your opinion on, you know, if it's becoming a little bit too much.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about, like, first of all, All-Star game, it don't matter. Right? It's an All-Star game. It was fun. I thought, you know, Trevino was great, like how in awe he was of being in an All-Star game. It was kind of cool to get that perspective. It was funny to hear several pitchers talk about what pitch is coming next, you know, as if I'm going to throw this, I'm going to throw that. Like, that stuff is kind of fun. It's All-Star. It's you know, it's not like a real game. It's exhibition. But real game, what are we getting out of it? Like, that's what I keep saying. Like, what are we getting out of it? That is, wow, I really needed to have that player mic'd up in that moment. I don't think you need to talk to the player. If he's mic'd up without an earpiece, just mic'd up, that's fine. But when you're literally, he's got the earpiece in, right, Bart? You know he's like wondering, is he talking to me? Are they saying something to me? Do I have to respond? Yeah. Like not, I need you just focused on the game.
Yep. I mean, God forbid, yo, somebody, like I said, that's what happens, right? Distractions. Then something happens, ball comes to you, then what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, we want all access, but I just think you should be able to do it without actually letting the player hear. Just like in football, you hear him mic'd up, you pull up some of the stuff, like, yo, this is what he was thinking.
I love that you can hear the line of scrimmage. In some of the preseason games,
yeah,
you could hear the communication pointing out what – that's the part I love the most. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Spartan Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Yeah, the breaking news for today, at least the moves, is that Zach Wilson's out in L.A., the Jets quarterback, number two overall pick from last year out of BYU. He's getting his knee scoped, and then we'll see. I mean, how much time will he miss? The number one pick in last year's draft, Trevor Lawrence, and with Doug Peterson at the helm, there's a sense that now you'll really start to see the potential of him. And he went one. Justin Fields, he is somebody that probably is going to go through some growing pains in his second year, even though there's a new coach, new strategy, new everything, and a team that's not very good. Trey Lance, you got some people, Bill Barnwell, thinking he could be an MVP. And one of our colleagues co-signed it. I'll play that for you a little bit later on in the show to get your reaction to it. But just getting back to the Zach Wilson aspect with the Jets. Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl, teammate of yours with the Ravens, is now 37-year-old backup turned now starter in replacement of Zach Wilson, at least for now. And it's worth asking this question to you. If Joe Flacco happens to have the Jets at 1-0, 2-0, 300-yard passing game, Zach Wilson now is ready to play. Did the Jets say, well, look, this is his team. You don't lose your starting spot. He's back from injury. He should play. Or do you think they just ride Joe Flacco if he seems to have command of the offense?
I mean, you have to ride Joe Flacco because it's important for Joe Douglas. Not so much for Robert Saleh because this is only his second year. But for Joe Douglas to kind of start showing some of the results of what he's been building here and say, hey, listen, that way if the quarterback's not the answer – you can see that the quarterback's not the answer because he's at the point now because of his injuries where we can just continue to make mistakes for him. People that want me make excuses for him, the people that want to, right? Because now they can say, well, he was coming off an injury. He never really fully recovered from the knee surgery. It was bothering him. He didn't trust the knee. You can make that. So now you go into another season and you don't know if he's the guy. So maybe you may not, you know, go and try and sign a guy like Jimmy G or something like that and knowing that you can walk away from it or figuring things out that way. So I feel like, you know, Flacco should be better than him, but at some point he's going to have to get back out there. But Joe Douglas needs to win games this year because last year was a disappointing year. He has to prove that he's building this program the right way.
All right. It's interesting what Garrett Wilson did say, though, about how way more impressed he sounded about Joe Flacco throwing him passes. Let's go to Dre in Pittsburgh, speaking of young quarterbacks. Go ahead, Dre.
What's up?
What's happening?
Hey, Bart, quick question, man. Do you think that
Mitchell Trubisky going to get Wally pipped by Kenny Pickett and get the Cam Newton treatment, just get cut?
Well, I don't know if he's going to get cut because they still own his rights for 2 years. I believe he signed a two-year deal. But the issue is that also, like, you need a good backup in his league. Right? And sometimes if you decide to let Kenny Pickett get some reps, and Kenny Pickett ultimately is going to have a step back, man, because he's a rookie quarterback. You talk about the defenses he has to face within that division. You kind of want Mitchell Trubisky to win the job, and then you want, if Kenny Pickett is close or he shows that he can handle, you know, because he's the future, right? Because they spent the first round draft pick, he's the future. So you want him to kind of earn it from him and for mm-hmm. the players and everybody all be on board. Because if you just give it to Kenny, then now you're going to lose part of your locker room because they're saying you're not really trying to win the football game. You're not trying to win. You're just trying, you know, because if you was going to try to win, you're giving to them.
You know, and something that Mike Tomlin said after the game, because you remember, again, the crowd there in Pittsburgh, because they had a lot of his teammates and fans from Pitt were chanting his name, Kenny. He led them to a game-winning drive, so you had everybody going crazy. Tomlin said, you know, He was careful. He's a, you know, displayed a competitive spirit. A lot of good things to build from.
They were playing Seattle, though, who should be god awful this year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's certainly a part of it that you have to acknowledge as well. But still, I mean, there's some energy behind him because he is the young quarterback and he's a
local
favorite.
Mitchell Trubisky's young too, though.
I know. No.
You got two young quarterbacks.
True. All right, it's Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So coming up, will KD really call it quits if he isn't traded? He did sound off. We'll discuss. Next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.